Aristotle said that the point of life is what he called eudaimonia, E-U-D-A-I-M-O-N-I-A, which is often translated as happiness, but that's not a correct translation. It should be translated more as fittingness. And what it means, really, is having a good guiding daemon. And by daemon, they don't mean demon. They really mean muse. And the idea is that after you die, you are treated for 100 lifetimes the way you treated others here on this planet. And then after that, you are given certain gifts. And those, and then the last thing that happens before you are born is you drink an elixir of forgetfulness. And your job when you are here is to spend your life trying to remember what those gifts were that you were given prior to coming here. And to follow those gifts, you are given assistance by a daemon, by a muse. And so if you have a good daemon, you have eudaimonia. You are able to follow this into the life that you should be living. And this is another way to say this. This was a big deal in Joseph Campbell's work where he talked about following your bliss. And what that is, again, you know, so many young people ask me, so what should I do? You know, the world's being killed. I don't know. Should I be an organizer? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I always say, as a young person, your job is to find out what you were meant to do and what you love to do, what your gifts are, and then how you can use them in the service of your land base. And this is something I think too many of us forget, is that and this can be multiple things. It doesn't just have to be one thing. But the question, I think, one of the questions we have to ask is, what were you made to do? What were you, not what were you, what did someone make you to do, but what were you created to do? This last week, a person from Pacific Power showed up because my meter had stopped working and he had to replace it. And this has happened a few times over the years. So he and I were joking about how we meet up every 2 years and walk through the forest and talk, and then everything's fine. And then my meter craps out 2 years later and we have another nice chat. And this time I asked him, he was saying that he lives in a tiny town north of Grants Pass. And I said, so where are you from? He said, well, I grew up there in this tiny town. I've lived there my entire life except when I went to college. And in college, he went to the big town of Stockton and to pitch, to play baseball at the university there. And so we were chatting about that, and I said, were you any good? He said, yeah, I was actually really good. I was drafted by the major leagues in the sixth round, but I decided to finish college. And then afterwards, you know, baseball was done, and I didn't want that lifestyle. I missed living in a small town. Stockton was too big, so I thought if I, you know, played in Chicago or Detroit or New York City, that would be just terrible. So I didn't pursue it, haven't had any regrets. So then I had to ask him, you know, like, what's your best memory? He pitched against a Major League Hall of Famer when they were both in college. So that was pretty cool. And then I said, what were your best pitches? And he said, well, I had a decent fastball, but my out pitch, my best pitch was a slider that was Major League quality. And then he said something, and this is why I'm bringing all this up. And then he said, you know, I didn't really do anything to deserve my slider. It was a God-given talent. And I think about that so often with, and this is going to apply to more than athletics too. I think about that with myself in high jumping that, yeah, I worked really hard, and working really hard maybe added an inch or two, which can make the difference between winning and, you know, coming in a low place at a meet. But it was almost all God-given talent or nature-given talent, however you want to say it, evolutionarily given talent. That was a freak of nature. And the same is true with so many serious athletes. And I think, I mean, yes, they can certainly hone the talent, and they have to compete at major levels, but so much of it is just they won the evolutionary lottery. And I think that that's not true just with that. You know, I have always had a terrible, there are some things there are some ways I think that I'm pretty agile intellectually. And I also have always had a terrible spatial intelligence. My mom used to joke that when I would pack to go on tour, I would bring my duffel bag or suitcase or whatever it was up here, and then she would repack it and literally take about half the space. And I've always been terrible at puzzles, at like jigsaw puzzles. My mom would whip through them, and I'm still on the fourth piece. And she would ask me, so like if I pack a dishwasher, she would unpack it and pack it again and get in 30% more dishes. I'm completely incompetent spatially. And likewise, I've always had a terrible rote memory, which is why I got a C in organic chemistry, because a lot of that was memorization. I never could have been a biologist or a doctor because I couldn't memorize the anatomy if I tried. I got C's in geology because it required rote memory. And I've always been terrible at that. And we see this with writing too, that, you know, some people have real gifts. There are people who have gifts far beyond mine. I've got gifts beyond some people. And yes, we can develop, and I'm a much better writer than I was in my 20s, infinitely better, but there was still something there in the first place. And like I said, don't expect this to go anywhere exciting. I just think it's really fascinating to think about how we can have, I love the word gifts for these, because they are gifts from the universe that we did nothing to deserve. This guy, I mean, he said, I did nothing to deserve my slider. And there are people who are really just complete computer whizzes, or, oh my gosh, I've worked with some attorneys. And yes, some of that is learning the language, the legal language, but some of it is how they think and how they assemble an argument that is completely different than how I would assemble an argument. I have a gift for assembling arguments that go over here and then over here and then over here. And you think I'm just crazy because I'm making all these disparate points and then they come together. That's a gift I have. I don't work at that. I don't do it on purpose. It's just how it works. And likewise, if you put me in front of a jury and I had to make a closing argument, I would lose them because I can't do what they would require. And again, I'm not taking this anywhere. I'm just marveling. And I think the same thing is true for non-human. You know, we see this all the time I've had dogs who were basic retriever breeds who, if you throw a ball for them, they will do it all day long. They'll run and get it and come back. And my mom's Shelties, you know, you try throwing them anything that's not edible and they just look at you. And if you throw something that's edible, they're like, why didn't you hand it to me? And then they'll walk slowly over and grab it. And, you know, I guess this will have a little bit of a conclusion, because I was just in an interview the other day and the person asked me, he said, his question was very broad. He said, talk about supremacism. And what I said was that various supremacisms come about because those who participate in the supremacism, those who believe it, they perceive differences between individuals And then they perceive those differences as making a hierarchy. So women and men are different. And that's just true. And nonetheless, we end up saying, well, that means men are better than we collectively in patriarchy. End up saying men are superior to women. Well, it's like, superior what? You know, women are better at giving birth. Men are better at impregnating women. You know, I don't know what else men might be better at. This is true with non-humans, you know, that we think that we're superior to bears. Well, we're probably better at bears at making computers, and bears are better than we are at climbing trees. We all were given inalienable gifts, and there's no reason for that to make the fact that I don't, the fact that my mother was better spatially than I and had a better rote memory. I mean, it's so funny. She was 86 and I was still relying on her memory instead of the other way around because she had a gift. And I guess that's the point I want to make with this is that what are your purposes? What is your purpose? What are the largest, most pressing problems that you can help to solve using the gifts that are unique to you and all the universe? That's the point of life.